welcome to the DFL Debrief. So great to be here with you. My name is Brian Evans, Communications Director for the Minnesota Democratic Farmer Labor Party, joined in the studio by Will Davis.
Hello, Brian.
Hello. So we are going to be coming out with a full episode tomorrow, Friday, as per usual. But today we've got something a little too urgent to wait, and we're 100% serious about that. Wisconsin's facing the most important election of 2023 in less than 2 weeks' time, just over a week.
It's hard to imagine that, not to be hyperbolic, but potentially U.S. democracy could be on the line in a state Supreme Court race in Wisconsin. That is something else, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. So I actually spent a couple years at the Wisconsin Democratic Party before I came over to Minnesota, and I can say firsthand just how gerrymandered the state is, just to hell and back. It was in 2018, I think Democrats in the state assembly got about 54% of the vote, but ended up with about 36% of actual legislative seats. Like, the maps are absolutely horrible. There's a lot of really rough stuff going on in Wisconsin that the only solution to it is a progressive majority on the state Supreme Court. And that majority will be decided, I believe, on April 4th, mm-hmm. the first couple days of April. And so it's all hands on deck. We need folks' help. So we talked to the chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, Ben Wickler, about the stakes of the election and what folks can do to support them.
Republicans in Wisconsin are hell-bent on turning it into Mississippi. But unfortunately for them, there's a lot more Democrats there than are in Mississippi. And so what they're trying to do is use the Supreme Court and the legislature to change the rules so their votes don't matter, but they do. And in a race like this, they really, really do.
And as someone who lived in Wisconsin for 8 years and then moved to Minnesota, I can attest firsthand how much grief Minnesotans love to give Wisconsinites.
Oh, yeah.
But they need a little bit more than our grief right now. They need our help because
in a lot of ways, there are rivals, but when it comes to democracy and progressive values, we need to have them as a partner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Because what happens there can absolutely affect us here in Minnesota. So, you know, without further ado, here's our conversation with Wisconsin Democratic Party Chairman Ben Wickler about the stakes of this Supreme Court race and how you at home can help. This week, we are really lucky to be joined by Ben Wickler, who is the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, to talk about the incredibly important Supreme Court race that's coming up in Wisconsin. Ben, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me on. Big fan of the DFL.
Well, I know we're not, Pod Save America. I saw your big episode with them the other day. But we do have 10 listeners, so that should be helpful to you here. No, we have a few more than that, but I want to thank you. I know how busy you are, Ben, right now. And, you said this earlier, and it's absolutely correct. This is probably the most important race of the 2023 election cycle for Democrats, not only in Wisconsin, but across the country. Can you talk a little bit about what's happening in Wisconsin and the importance of this Supreme Court race?
Absolutely. So for Wisconsinites, the first thing I'd point to is that we have a almost total ban on abortion that was passed in the year 1849. That ban was kind of forgotten about until the Dobbs decision that overturned Roe versus Wade. And then suddenly this horrible question arose, is that now a law that's in effect? Is abortion now a crime punishable by 6 years in prison? And a fair reading of the law would say no. There have been other laws passed since then that should take precedence over the law from before the Civil War. But of course, Republicans in our state Supreme Court, which has a 4-3 Republican majority, where the majority's up in this election, the Republicans don't really look at the law. They just look at what right-wing special interest groups want. So if Republicans, if Dan Kelly, the Republican candidate in this race, wins this election, dollars to donuts, that abortion ban is going to be determined to be enforceable. And we will, I guess, continue with the kind of nightmare situation we're in right now, where OBGYN practices are closing all over the state because doctors are terrified of being jailed, even for performing miscarriage care. Because the law was written before the advent of modern medicine. It just uses the term abortion, which is the standard of care, even when there's not a viable pregnancy. That's the term that you use for it. So abortion is front and center in this race. But for the rest of the country, there's also the issue of the 2024 election, which could be overturned. If we have a big lie majority on the state Supreme Court, they came within one vote of overturning the 2020 election on our state Supreme Court. Dan Kelly was defeated by the candidate we supported in the spring of 2020. If he'd been on the court, he would have cast the deciding vote to overturn that election. And we don't want to give him a chance to actually make that dark dream come true. The last thing I'll mention is that Wisconsin is the most hyper gerrymandered state in the union. It mm-hmm. is a case study in ultra gerrymandering. And in Wisconsin, unlike other gerrymandered states, that's not because the governor and the legislature ganged up together to gerrymander it. It's because the state Supreme Court chose these gerrymandered maps. And if we had a fair Supreme Court, it could declare these maps unconstitutional, which I certainly think that they are, and demand new maps, potentially before 2024. So gerrymandering is on the line, democracy itself is on the line, and reproductive freedom is on the line. That adds up to the most important election in the country in 2023.
Hey, Ben, just on the gerrymandering, correct me if I'm wrong. I believe that more Wisconsinites voted for Democrats for state legislature, yet you received, a third of the seats as a result, somewhere around there as a result of the hyper gerrymandering that's gone on. And, you know, despite the fact that you are winning statewide, this gerrymandering has not only impacted state legislative races in Wisconsin and put you in a position where you're two seats away from the Republicans having veto authority, but you've also lost some congressional races as a result of this hyper gerrymandering. So this is obviously through a partisan lens. You know, one thing we've fought for is fair maps, and your state is the prime example of what happens when, you know, an out of control court decides that they're going to engage in this type of hyper-partisanship.
That's absolutely right. I mean, we are a state that's 50-50, maybe plus one or two or three in statewide elections, and yet we have six out of our eight congressional districts held by Republicans. That is gerrymandering in a nutshell. And, you know, if we just went to 4-4, then that would eat up 40% of Kevin McCarthy's House majority. I mean, this has real implications for the control of the House. The voting rights implications of this election will have a huge impact on the control of the Senate because Tammy Baldwin's up for re-election. And then there's the White House, where we're the tipping point state. There's a reason why Republicans put their first presidential primary debate and their national convention in Wisconsin in 2024, because they can't get to the White House unless they win here. So the impact of this race could ripple through just about everything in national politics.
Yeah, no kidding. Can you talk to us a little bit about the two candidates that are running and, you know, which one, you know, you all support and are encouraging people to go vote for, knock on doors for, help out however we can?
Absolutely. So this is an election where turnout is going to be low just because it's in April, and whoever votes in April, most people don't. It's, you know, it'll be a record if it gets up to 40% in this election. The weird thing is turnout is low. Attention levels are low. The amount of news coverage of this race compared to like a senator governor's race or presidential race is a tiny fraction, but the stakes are just as high. And you can see that when you look at the two candidates. So Dan Kelly's the Republican. He was an attorney in private practice doing criminal defense, including, you know, for some clients that are committed very, very grave crimes or were alleged to. And then he defended the gerrymandered maps in 2011 for Scott Walker. And that case, you know, ultimately got Republican judges rubber stamping the maps and meant that in 2012, when Democrats swept the state in a big way statewide, Republicans held on to their legislative majorities, in contrast to, say, Minnesota, where in 2012, Democrats won statewide and won majorities in the state legislature and had a trifecta. That case, that Dan Kelly case, was it sealed it for them. Scott Walker thanked him for that by appointing him to the state Supreme Court when there was a vacancy in 2016. And on the court, Dan Kelly was a constant kind of super partisan who would do whatever helped the Republican Party's agenda, regardless of what the law or the Constitution said. In 2020, Dan Kelly faced voters for the first time, and we defeated him in a landslide victory right when the COVID pandemic started. And thank God we did, because, you know, he could have flipped the result in the 2020 election. So after we beat him, he became the special counsel to the Wisconsin Republican Party, helped them with their fake elector scheme, went on a big lie tour of Wisconsin, and now he's running for state Supreme Court again. He was cashing checks from the Wisconsin GOP as recently as December 2022 while he was an active candidate. I mean, this guy is a full-on partisan operative, running a very kind of condescending campaign claiming that his opponent is the political one. The contrast between him and Janet Protasiewicz could not be more stark. She was a prosecutor for 25 years. And then has been a judge in Milwaukee County for the last 9 years. So Dan Kelly's never presided over a criminal trial. Some law professors wrote an article about his term on the court. It's just full of basic factual errors and gaps in legal logic. She's an actual judge, and she's running to serve the public and be a fair and impartial balance on the court. You also asked about what people can do to help. And I really want to underline this. Normally in an election, field organizing makes a difference. That is always true. I deeply believe in organizing, you know, wherever, whenever it is possible. But in this election, it's like a superpower because so few people will vote that there are hundreds of thousands of committed Democrats who would absolutely vote for Janet if they knew about her, who will stay on the sidelines. And you can get them off the sidelines by knocking on doors and making phone calls. If folks go to wisdems.org/volunteer, an hour spent in this election, you will find it is more fun and you'll rack up more votes for your candidate than you ever have done in any election you've volunteered in, because the difference is so, so big between the two candidates. And there's so many people who so far are still on the sidelines on this thing.
Hey, Ben, one long frustration for me with Democrats is that they don't seem to find the importance in the judiciary. And I'm sure that's something that you're seeing with low, you know, expected turnout here. Are you guys doing anything kind of out of the box to try to explain to people how important this is?
I think the first big thing I'll say is here I am talking on your podcast. Yeah, yeah. I'm so grateful for your attention to it. I'm spending every second I can helping to get the word out and, you know, sending information about this to reporters all over the country and all over the state. It really is. It's so striking once you hear about it. Once you hear about it, you know, you've got to get involved. And that is not always the case with any election. So that's one big piece. A second thing, we have the original cast other than John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John for obvious reasons. But we have a ton of original cast members from Greece who are coming together for a reunion event for us this Sunday night. And that we've had pop culture events in the past in November elections, but never in a spring election before. Those tend to be wonderful moments that kind of break out of the political bubble and reach people who are just interested in the people involved and the cultural moments involved. So we're very excited about that. We had Pod Save America here this past weekend. We are asking all of our national friends to weigh in. Barack Obama just tweeted and asked people to volunteer for us in this final stretch. Hillary Clinton endorsed Janet Protasiewicz. The goal here is to make sure that every Democrat knows how big a difference this makes and how close these elections can be. That by itself is enough to win. That said, we have ads up on TV that really appeal to most voters because reproductive freedom is not just a Democratic issue. Yeah, like 2/3 of Wisconsinites supported Roe versus Wade and opposed its overturning. So the same thing that motivates our voters to cast a ballot also persuades voters that are independent or even some Republicans to move over and vote for our candidate.
And so if someone is interested who, you know, lives in Minnesota but wants to phone bank, I imagine they'll be, it's like you said, it's probably going to be some pretty fun organizing work. Like I would guess that they would be talking to fellow Democrats who share their values about, because this is probably more of a turnout election than anything else. And so I bet they would just get to, you know, primarily talk to Democrats about the importance of actually showing up and voting. And the stakes are so high. Can you talk about like what, you know, organizing for this is like and why folks should give it a shot?
Absolutely. This is not an election where we're asking people to go talk to Trump supporters and convince them to please, please, please see the error of their ways. Not that that's how we ever organize. But in this case, it's especially not that way. What we're doing here is calling strong Democrats who vote in November elections, who we know voted for Biden last time and, you know, Tony Evers and Mandela Barnes in 2022, and just making sure that they know this election's happening and here are the stakes and here are the candidates. So it's fun. People thank you for the call. When we're knocking on doors, we're getting a higher response rate than we ever have. The contact rate is like 23%. People's phones are not ringing off the hook. This is not a moment when people are like, why is everyone calling me every 10 seconds? The volume of attention to a race like this is just so much lower than a November election that you might be the only call someone gets. I personally got my first and only phone call about this election today. I was at lunch with a reporter and someone called and asked if I was planning to vote in the election and support Janet Protasiewicz. I said, absolutely. And then the person realized that they were volunteering for the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. So it was kind of a fun call. But this is a moment when you know, people who pride themselves on never missing an election, usually they're talking about November. Like tons and tons and tons and tons of people might not even know that these nonpartisan elections have enormous partisan impacts. So this really is just, it's kind of like the bumper bowling version of political organizing. You're calling people who are going to agree with you and telling them about something that they'll be excited to learn about. It's fun and you can win this way. So if folks are listening right now and they have you know, a doctor's appointment they can cancel to spend that time phone making, or a dentist appointment to delay until after April 4th. Use every minute you've got. That is my message to people, because the impact per hour is vast and the stakes of winning are huge. And let me add one more thing. We have lost Supreme Court elections in the past by microscopic margins. In 2011, there was a race that would have determined the majority on the state Supreme Court. We lost by 7,004 votes. That's one vote per precinct across the state. 2019, we lost by half a percentage point. It was 5,981 votes. That's less than one vote per precinct. So if you do spend an hour phone banking for us, you could rack up multiple precincts worth of vote margins, and I will be eternally in your debt.
Well, let me just expound on that for a second, Ben. You know, that you talked earlier about the stakes of this election, and I appreciate you framing this up because it is really critical. But, you know, let me add a couple more things to this for our listeners and anyone else around the country who might be listening on why it's important to get involved in this race. First, you know, obviously this will be this is a nationalized race, and the Republicans will certainly seize upon this as a weakness for Democrats going into the presidential election in 2024 if we don't win this race. Of course, there's all the bad consequences that would happen in Wisconsin and frankly around the country if we don't. But from a purely political and partisan standpoint, you know, we need to win this race for our party as well, to make sure that folks know that the party, when it came time to win this critical race, our party was organized and showed up. The second piece that's important is, you know, if the Republicans are successful here, you can bet that this will be a strategy moving forward in other states, including in states like Minnesota, where we don't have expensive partisan judicial races. You can bet your bottom dollar that if they're successful in stopping progress once again in Wisconsin by winning this seat, they're going to bring this recipe to every state around the country. So the stakes are incredibly high. So if you are sitting at home right now and thinking, boy, what do I care about Wisconsin? And, you know, frankly, I can understand why, right? We you know, cheeseheads, right? There are rivals. But no, truly, I mean, if you're wondering, why would I care about a race in Wisconsin? This isn't just about Wisconsin. It's about our Democratic Party. It's certainly about our nation. It's about our values. And it's about, you know, what messages and lessons the other side are going to take if they're able to win this race.
Completely. That's exactly right. You know, Republicans like to build playbooks in one place and then spread them across the country. And we got to stop them here, because I don't want any other state to have to go through the hideous campaigning operation Republicans are running in our state right now, appealing to the deepest biases and worst fears of people in our state, whether it's these ultra-racist Willie Horton TV ads or these incendiary, horrible anti-trans messages they're cranking out, and text messages to people, sending them videos that frighten them with total misinformation. It is gross, and we should make sure it loses here and then it ends here.
That's right. Say, Ben, you are arguably running one of the strongest state parties in the nation. It's been great to watch you build that party over there. One thing, I just read the news, really grateful to see that you've decided to run again for another term. Can you explain to your listeners why you made that decision and, you know, what you hope to accomplish with another term under your belt?
Well, you're very kind to say it. And yes, I'm running for a third term as chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. The work is not over. Wisconsin is still not a democracy. Not that it'll be over when we are a democracy. Then we got to keep winning elections. But there's a Harvard study that calls Wisconsin a democracy desert. It is less democratic than Hungary or Turkey at this moment. It's more in the region of Congo, Syria, or Bahrain because of the gerrymandering, because of the way Republicans have skewed our laws and rigged our system. And our state party is extraordinarily strong, and our volunteers and our staff are just amazing. And we have to be to win elections, because the playing field is tilted against Democrats here. To win a, you know, fraction of one percentage point victory, to win in 2020 by 0.6 percentage points, we had to do far more than the other side did, because the state is rigged for Republican control. And I am running for another term because all of this is on the line in the 2024 election. You know, the fate of the White House and the presidency could run through Wisconsin. And also, if we win and have fair maps in 2024, we could have a shot at actually changing, you know, control of who gets to make the laws and reflect the public. If we lose in the Supreme Court race, the stakes in some ways are even higher, because then we're at risk of Republican supermajorities in the state legislature. So when I thought about it, I mean, it's long talks with my family and a lot of thinking through about how do we make this work? It is very intense, as you very well know, Chair Martin. But I just couldn't live with myself sitting out this next election cycle, you know, not throwing everything I had into it. And the opportunity to work with the amazing folks here at the party and our thousands and thousands of volunteers is something that I cherish and I'm honored to have the chance to do. And I really do believe that if people pour in their power, we can build a people-powered democracy in the Badger State.
Well, you know, as a vice chair of the DNC and the head of our association, Ben, I, for one, am extremely grateful for the sacrifices you've made and both personally, professionally to do this work and the fact that you've signed up for another tour of duty. It's important work, as you well know, and no place more important than Wisconsin right now with everything going on. My last question for you is, who was your favorite Princess Bride character and why?
Well, I love Inigo Montoya so, so much. I quote him all the time. Fezzik has a very special place in my heart, and Andre the Giant is dearly beloved and missed. So it's a very hard call between those two characters. My kids and I are constantly quoting the back and forth between them on the boat to each other, where Inigo goes, Fezzik, are there rocks ahead? And he says, if there are, we all be dead. And then Mancini says, no more running now. I mean it. And Fezzik says, anybody want a peanut? So that, I guess I'll take the whole of those two characters.
Oh, that's great. Well, the reason I reference that for our listeners is Ben's been able to have some fantastic events to both bring some excitement to this work that we do, but also to you know, raise some money and fund these campaigns and his party over there, including I believe it was it in 2018 or 2020 where you had the Princess Bride cast come in and do a fundraiser for the party, correct?
That's right. That was my favorite fundraising event of all time. It's my single favorite movie, and it's still a dream come true for me that the cast came together.
Oh, that was awesome. Well, Ben, I really appreciate you taking the time today. We wish you well in the next couple of weeks and the lead up to this election. For our listeners who want to volunteer, of course, you can go to the Democratic Party of Wisconsin website here. I'll have Brian say it in a second. It's actually it's WISDEMS, so www.wisdems.org/volunteer. That will bring you to all the different ways you can volunteer. I'll also let you know that the Minnesota DFL will be bringing caravans of volunteers over from the Twin Cities to Hudson. We'll also be bringing volunteers over from the Winona and La Crescent area to La Crosse, and also volunteers over from Duluth over to the Superior area to canvas and to get the vote out in those critical areas. You can also, as I mentioned, sign up on their mobilized list and just do phone banking from the comfort of your home. Anything you can do, if you can spare a half hour, an hour, 2 hours more, anything you can do over the course of the next 2 weeks in the lead up to this will make a critical difference. I know that Chairman Wickler and his team would appreciate it. Frankly, our Democratic Party nationwide and all people who care about free and flourishing democracy should care about this election. So thank you, Ben, for everything you do. Good luck, my friend, and we'll see you on the other side.
That sounds good. Thank you so much. Thanks so much, Chair Martin. Thank you so much, Brian. Thank you all DFL listeners. Help us win this race. We want you to have a blue neighbor for your beautiful blue trifecta, Minnesota. And we're on the job.
Awesome.
Well, thanks, thank you very much.
Take care.